Well, let's take our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. It's good to see everybody here today. It's good to see Brother Wayne. Brother Wayne got a haircut this week. I was trying all week to get a haircut, and it was just a week where I did not have time. I kept trying. There was not a time slot. So just so you know, I'm not taking the vow of the Nazarite or anything like that. Just didn't have time this week, but hopefully next week. It's a little shaggy. So I was a little jealous of your haircut. That's all I'm saying. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Good to see y'all. Going to continue here studying through the Spirit and His work in our lives. And so really the first six lessons here are about what the Spirit does in our lives. And then the next six lessons really aim at living the Spirit-filled life. And so that'll transition will kind of happen after this lesson here. But just continuing on through what the Spirit actually does and what His role on this earth is. And really we begin to focus on what He does for the Christian and those who are saved. And so I'm going to continue that today, looking at His separating ministry. And what we're really going to see is how He leads us. And as He leads us, it's a natural thing that the Spirit would lead the believer to separate from the world and to separate from darkness specifically. And that's what we'll see here in Ephesians 5. So let's look together, Ephesians 5 and verse number 8. Oh, before I start, I just want to say thank you for praying for my wife. Some have asked. She did make it down to Lubbock yesterday. Made it safely. We found out her grandfather was not doing well, and she just wanted to go and try to see him before he passed. And so she left yesterday, kind of last minute, and went down there and took a couple of my girls to keep her awake on the road. And so they're there. She's heading there now to visit him. And so. Anyway, thank you for your prayers for her. All right, Ephesians 5, look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that phrase there, and really that verse 17, is really going to be the thrust of the message today. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. You know, as a Christian person, you don't have to live unwise. And unwise is a really nice way to say something else, right? But you don't have to be that way. In fact, he wants us to be opposite of that, which he describes as, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to find his will, understand his will, and follow his will. So we'll look at that this morning. Let's just pray. Let's ask the Lord to be with us this time in Sunday school. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house today, grateful for those who are here. We're thankful for those children who went downstairs to have their classes as well. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless in this hour of Sunday school in this church. God, that as the word's proclaimed up here and in the classrooms below, we just pray that your word would do a work in our hearts, that you'd be with these teachers and be with the students. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to learn from your word and apply it, Lord, to our lives so that we could live for you how you want us to. And Lord, we'll thank you. I pray you give me the words to say and just help me to recall the study and the things that are here. And I'll ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're really talking about, and I think that it's prevalent in our society, is that people generally, they feel lost. You know, people just generally in life feel lost. And I think many times that, we think of the lost world, well, obviously they're lost, right? The Bible identifies them as lost. They haven't received Christ yet, so they're spiritually lost. They're unsaved. But it's possible even for a Christian person, and I don't want to say lost as in spiritually lost or lost their salvation, but to be confused about what the Lord is asking in their life. And it's not because of, I say this all the time, but it's not the Lord's fault if we're confused. He's given us, in fact, I think Romans says something like this, that we are without excuse. He's given us His Word, He's given us His Spirit, but when we're not in His Word, we're not walking by His Spirit, we can certainly get lost. If we're using other things to guide our walk, other things to guide our direction, and I'm not saying there aren't other good things, because the Bible describes that, you know, we can get, there's safety in the multitude of counsel. So godly counsel is a good thing. But I'm telling you, the counsel of the world will lead us to a place that the Spirit may not, if that makes sense. And if you've ever used a GPS in your car and you're driving through an area you've never been, and back in the day, so nowadays it seems like the GPS is much better. But you remember the GPS that you used to have to buy, and you stuck it on your windshield and had the cord and all that, and it didn't update because the internet there was no such thing as the Wi-Fi and all that going on. And so a lot of times it wasn't updated. I remember one time my wife and I were going to, we're just going to have a couple of nights, I think for maybe an anniversary trip or something. But where we lived I think we were in Plainview at the time. But where we lived there in West Texas, the closest retreat was over in New Mexico in Ruidosa. And you'd go up there and there's like ski slopes and lodges, and you go up there, it's a nice place to stay. And I remember we got a hotel there, and we had that little goofy Garmin GPS stuck to the windshield, and we're just trying to get there. And we're driving, and we pass right through Ruidosa. The thing tells us keep going, and I think, okay, maybe this hotel must be, it must be across town. And so we're driving through town, passing everything, and we get to the edge of town, it's telling us to keep going. So we're thinking, you know what, just keep going. It must be up here somewhere. Maybe it's a, you know, mountain resort or something like that. And so we just followed this thing. And before long, we're in the middle of nowhere. And my wife could tell a story too. There's just deer walking around everywhere. There's no lights. There's no, in fact, we got to a little neighborhood where there's just a couple of houses. And like I said, just obvious that there was no hotel. So I start to curse the GPS, and it's the GPS's fault and all that. Anyway, we turn around, we go back to town, and what we realize is the first hotel that you pass in town was the one that we were supposed to stay at, and it's a huge building on the side of the road, well lit with a big sign, and because we were so focused on that little box, we drove right past it, and isn't that something that, you ever followed that GPS so much that you forget to look up and see that maybe if you just looked at what's going on around you, you know? And again, I'm not saying don't follow the Holy Spirit, because I'm not comparing Him to that GPS. I'm just saying if you get the wrong instructions, you will be led astray. If you're not paying attention to the right thing, you're not going to get to the right place. And again, I don't know why that GPS wasn't right, but I remember that. And so then for years after that, I wouldn't even use the thing. I went back to paper maps. I was so mad about, you know, getting lost and all that. Now I'm, you know, I drank the Kool-Aid again. I'm back on using GPS all the time. And so, yeah. Oh, boy. Google's always right. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't even like saying the word Google in here, because I feel like that now they're going to come. I don't know. It's just weird. What was I saying before I was rudely interrupted? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Let's look at, let me read you this verse, because just this idea of having the right guidance. Christians should not be lost out in this world. We shouldn't be confused about what God's will is. And we're going to look at the text and all the verses in the text as we go here, but just for a second, let me read to you Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so here's Paul now. He's talking to the church in Colossae there in the book of Colossians. And he says, here's a prayer request. We've been praying for you and earnestly praying. And he says, we don't cease to pray. So here's something we really want you to get. He says, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I really believe that that burden that Paul had was a burden from the Lord. I believe it's the same burden that he would have for us today. God wants us to be filled with his, with the knowledge of his will and with the wisdom and spiritual understanding that comes from the Lord. So we're going to look at how the Spirit helps us with this. First of all, the Spirit will give us direction from the Lord. Direction from the Lord. And what we're going to see and what we see in our passage here in verse number 8 specifically, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So in this first kind of admonition or instruction on how to follow the Lord, notice that the Bible tells us that the Spirit will lead us to light. Have you ever noticed how much different things look in the dark versus the light? I mean, maybe you just think of yourself as a small child that's kind of scared of the dark, laying in bed, and mom and dad come by and turn off the lights. It's bedtime, and now every shadow looks like what? A monster or whatever they're scared of. Every shadow looks like something and causes them fear. But when you flip the lights on, all those shadows disappear, and now everything is seen clearly. I like to hunt, and so one of the things in Texas, a lot of times we just hunt from a stand, and so you'll get to your stand really early in the morning before it's light, you'll climb up in that tree, and you'll be sitting there in the dark, I mean, just pure dark. And it's honestly, the best hours of my life have been spent in the dark, just listening to the little crickets chirp and stuff scurry along the grass, and I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But you're sitting there in the dark, and your eyes start to adjust, but not really that well. And there's this thing I've learned that when you're in the dark and you look directly at something, you can't see it as well as if you just look off a little. Your night vision's better in your peripheral than it is straight on. I've learned that. But what I've learned is I've been sitting there before and I look out and I'm like, oh my goodness, there is a big deer right there. He's standing right there. And I get excited, you know, and I start getting ready. Oh, this is going to be a short hunt this morning. But then a little bit of light comes up and the sun starts to... And you realize it's just a bush. It's just a tree stump. In fact, there's a lot of deer that disappear as soon as the lights come on, right? Things look different in the dark and in the light. I don't think that's hard for us to grasp. And what the Lord is saying is we're not children of darkness. No longer. We were. That's what he says in verse 8. We used to walk in darkness before we were saved. But now there's no reason to walk in darkness. Ye are light. In the Lord. So walk as children of light. There's several verses that in the Bible, there's quite a few actually that compare walking in darkness and walking in light. I'll read a few of them to you. Acts 26:18 says, "To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So here Paul is talking about that transition that happens when we get saved, and he's bringing people from darkness to light. Of course, our verse Ephesians 5:8 here, but in the chapter before, if you're there in Ephesians 5, just look back to chapter 4 and look to verse number 18. It says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Again, those types of things are related to that darkness. And then Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." So now here is a verse that's talking about after that we've been saved, we've been delivered, past tense, from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So Paul says, walk in the light, and that is how we are to walk. So the Lord gives us direction by leading us to the light. He does this a couple of ways, and one of the main ways he does this is through the light of his presence. Okay, the light of his presence. If you will, hold your place here in Ephesians and just go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. His presence, just the Spirit being with us And I believe that there's a very strong correlation and connection with His presence and His Word. In other words, I don't believe that you'll be... I believe that He directs us through His presence as we're faithful to His Word. Because His Word is where He gives instruction. And then later, because we've been in His Word, He's able to direct us to the Word that we have learned. And I get that because I've heard it said, and not recently, but I've heard it said, and we all hear it said often, well, I know what the Bible says, but I just feel like, right? Well, that's a problem. If we feel like something the Bible doesn't say, that's not the Holy Spirit, okay? But whenever we're in a situation and the Holy Spirit reminds us of the Scriptures or guides us into some decision that is a biblical decision, that's what I'm talking about, the light of His presence. We have to have the Holy Spirit to have that guidance. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Actually, just go back to, go back to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, we don't have time this morning to look at it, but when he says comparing spiritual things with spiritual, I can show you, and one of these days we'll go through this. We can show you how what he's talking about is comparing Scripture with Scripture, comparing spiritual truth with spiritual truth. We do that through the Holy Ghost. And notice the contrast in verse 12 and 13 from the spirit of the world, the spirit of God, the teaching of the world, the teaching of God, the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God. Now look at verse 14. But the natural man, so that's the unsaved man, that's the unregenerated man, that's the man that has not the Holy Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And so a few things here to point out, but maybe the most important is this. When you hear the truth of God's word, if the truth of God's word is proclaimed in a group of people with saved people and not saved people, what this verse is going to say is, or what this verse is saying is that those spiritual truths should make sense to the believers. Right? They should seem logic, they should seem right, they should seem true. But the natural man, the unregenerated man, won't understand them or perceive them or think that they are important. And so what happens many times is a sermon is preached and it's preached with the authority of God's word through the Spirit, and so the truth goes out in a sermon. And there's a bunch of people there, and some of them are saved and some of them are not. And so some people leave the auditorium saying, "Praise the Lord! What a blessing! What truth that I can apply to my life this week, and these things will help me." The natural man walks out saying, "What was that? Right? Well, that seems very strange instruction. In fact, why would I sit here and let someone yell at me like that? You know, these are things that go on. And the fact is, that person just needs to be saved." Because then the Spirit, because of His presence, helps us to discern spiritual truth. Same thing goes for reading the Scriptures. And I'm not saying that the second that you get saved, you understand all the Scriptures. Okay? That's not what happens. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. The Bible says, be diligent in the Word. So study and diligence takes what? Time and work. And the Bible also refers to people laboring in the Word. Okay, that's work. And so we'll grow in our knowledge of the Scriptures as we study and labor and work in the. But not apart from the Holy Spirit. A lost man can study this book all he wants. Until he comes to the truth of salvation, he will not be able to understand it. And that's an issue today because so many I see it all the time. So many people trying to teach the Bible who aren't even saved. And you say, how do you know they're not saved? Because I hear what they say with their mouth. And I know that's not a saved person that's speaking, but yet they're trying to teach the Scriptures. Do you see how dangerous that is? These are spiritual truths. Okay, so we can't understand the Scriptures. Now, I do believe we can always take a thing to a place that the Bible doesn't, right? I believe that God gives a lost man understanding enough to understand the gospel, okay? That's obvious, right? The gospel message has to be understood. Go read Romans 10. How shall they hear without a preacher? And that whole section of Scripture that talks about that when that gospel message is preached, there's something, Romans 1 and 2 tells us, there's something in our heart that says, we better listen. And so a lost man can understand the gospel, but shouldn't stand up and try to teach truths out of God's word, because he doesn't understand that. So both are true in the Scriptures, and I don't believe there's any conflict there. But anyway, so we have to have the Spirit of God. So his presence, we have the ability to discern spiritual truth accurately, okay? But notice this, it's through also his word. So the light of his presence and the light of his word. And the word of God is the primary tool that God uses and the Holy Spirit uses in our lives to guide us. As we study the Scriptures, we find life as God designed it to be lived. We understand the principles that he wants us to know. So many folks struggle with, well, what's God's will? What's God's will? He wrote it down for us. I mean, it's right. This is God's will. If you want to know what God's will is, it's right here. You, and if you have the Holy Spirit, you can read it, you can discern it. And I know many times it's more like, well, I'm making this big purchase, right? Like, I've done this before, so I'll just tell myself. One time, I probably shared this. I'm only 40, but I forget the stories I've shared, and I haven't. So if I feel like an old grandpa at times just telling you the same old story, just go with it and do what I did as a grandkid and just say, man, that's a good story, Grandpa. I remember my grandpa used to do that all the time. He got dementia in his later years. I go over to his house, he'd tell me the same story every day I went over there. And you know what I did? I just acted like I'd never heard it before, enjoyed it. You know, so just do that, okay? Just help me out. But I did. I took my truck one time. It needed some spark plugs, and went in, took it to the dealership, and before you know it, this slick car salesman's out there telling me, you know, you need to just trade that truck in, and I'll get you into something else. And you know what happened? I drove off with a new truck. I didn't pray about it. I didn't ask God about it. I just thought, man, that sounds like a deal to me. And that truck ended up being a disaster of a truck. It was a total lemon and cost me tons of money. I had to basically sell it at auction for nothing, and I ended up paying on it for several years after I traded it. Is it important that we pray about every decision? Yeah, I'd say so. Even those decisions, right? And so I know what, when people say, I don't know God's will, a lot of times they're struggling with those decisions. Well, where does the Bible say thou shalt buy a new truck? Right? I haven't found that scripture yet. But I'll tell you this, if I'm walking in the Spirit, okay, and I'm being led of the Spirit, and I'm in God's word, and I'm doing all the things that I know that, I'm not perfect because I don't know everything. I haven't overcome the self-deception to know every sin and every problem that I have, but I'm walking with the Lord, I'm studying his word, I'm reading it, I'm faithful to it, I'm prayerful about my decisions. I'm telling you, God can give you wisdom on even those types of decisions. He can give you peace. He can give you there was a thing that I'm not going to give you the example, but because I don't want to, it's not anybody in our church, but I had a decision I had to make in this last 2 weeks or so, and man, my flesh wanted to do it, but there was just something in me saying don't do it. And you know what, I had to come to the conclusion that this is the Spirit just saying no. And so how do you have that discernment? Well, I've never seen anything written in the clouds, right? I've never, and I'm not saying God doesn't help us with you know, we open our Bible and there's a verse, and that happens all the time. But sometimes he just uses the word that you're already studying, the obedience you already have. You're already endeavoring to do the will of God that you know. And he can bring peace about decisions that you're trying to make. Okay. So the word of God through the Bible. Jesus said this in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if we want to have the light walking in that truth, then we must follow Christ. We follow Christ when we follow his word. We could go back to John 1 and see that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So as Jesus is saying, if you want to have light and walk in light, you follow me. How do you follow me? He says it a few ways. Keep my commandments, right? Do my word. We'll look at something this afternoon in the message as well regarding that. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we have a lamp at our feet, that should cause us not to what? To stumble, right? I mean, we stumble in the dark. I did it last night. I got up to get a drink of water, and I stumbled over the corner of the bed. Now, how hard is that just to get around the bed? And it's just the things that God does when I have little messages on my mind. He causes me to stump my toe. Be like, see, it's dark. I reminded you. Don't walk in darkness, you know. So, but now if we have the light of God's word at our feet, okay, and that is the first part of that verse, that Psalm 119:105, that thy word is a lamp to my feet, it causes us to know what that next step is and what the next decision is. It should help us not to stumble. Then we have a light unto our path, and so God illuminates the way. So God's provided us the light, the scripture. He's given us the Holy Spirit, but we must, you know, again, I feel like three times a week, this is the message. We must read it. We must take it seriously. If we're not in our Bibles Monday through Saturday, how are we supposed to know what we're going to be doing Monday through Saturday? And by the way, I'm thrilled. So many people this year have come to me. There's been several come to me and say, thank you for challenging us to read our Bibles. Last year, I read my Bible for the first time ever, like through. Several people told me that. I'm thrilled. As a pastor, I keep saying if I could do a cartwheel, I'm going to start practicing. One of these days, I'm going to bust out a cartwheel up here. I would do, that's later. Give me some years on the backflip. I think I could do a cartwheel. I'd probably tear my suit. But it just thrills me that people are reading their Bibles and have, you know, for the first time read through their Bible. And this year, there's more people than last year that have taken up that challenge and they're excited about it. That's a good thing, because you need God's word daily. You need it. And if you're not reading it, how are you going to know what God's will is? I mean, how can the Spirit illuminate something you're not looking at? You're not holding the light of God's word in front of you. How can the Holy Spirit illuminate that for you? And by the way, don't just read through your Bible because the preacher wants you to, or give you a book next year, or because, you know, it's like a check mark or what, you know. The point is that you would just, I would hope this, as you read your Bible every day, it begins to change your heart and your life, and you just see how God works. And so again, he's not going to guide us apart from his word. So he brings us light. We know that he wants to lead us. We studied Psalm 23 a few months ago, and he says he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. How will I know those paths of righteousness? Well, it's through God's word. There's always these illustrations of little kids in school. And what's the little boy's name that always is in the illustration? It's little Johnny, right? Yeah, that's right. Well, I got an illustration about little Johnny, okay? A teacher was, you know, substitute teaching one day, and she's teaching along, and she noticed little Johnny not getting it back there in the back, and he's always sitting in the back, by the way. and little Johnny. So she said, Johnny, do you have a problem hearing? Little Johnny says, no, I have a problem listening. And that's a different thing, right? Sometimes we can hear, but we don't listen. My wife accuses me of that at times, right? I heard what you said. Yeah, but you weren't listening, you know? And so I have this thing. I'll help you guys in here. I got a few gentlemen in here. When my wife starts, let's say that I'm reading something, and or I'm looking at something, or I'm doing something, and my wife starts to talk. You know what I do? I go, hold on. Tip one, always cut your wife off and tell her, hold on. Okay? You can see how, with the hand gesture, you know how this is going to go. Hold on. No, I'm joking, because I still am living, and you can understand that I must not actually do that. But I kind of do, because here's what I realized. I can't do two things at once. Okay? This is just me. I'm one track mind. I cannot multitask. I mean, yeah, I can put a boiling pot of water on the stove and go chop an onion. That's different, right? But I mentally, I can handle one thing at a time. So if I'm reading something that I need to, and I need to get this in, I can't have an interruption, because I'll forget this thing. It's just, this is the way God made me, and it's probably a deficiency. But this is just who I am. So I will, I'll tell her, hold on. I'll finish reading what I'm reading, or I'll put a bookmark, or I'll notate this, that I need to get back to this, whatever. I'll close the thing, and then I'll look at her and say, now, what were you saying? And so we joke about it, because I always tell her, hold on, like that. And she knows it. She knows it's coming. And she rolls her eyes and all that. But then guess what? She has my undivided attention, and I can listen. Okay. I'll use an example here. So I want to use that and bring it to the practical spiritual realm. Okay, I have the Bible on my phone. Everybody in here probably has the Bible on their phone. Let me just start by saying, there's nothing wrong with having the Bible on your phone. There's been times where I've been caught, you know, I don't really carry a New Testament in my pocket all the time, right? So sometimes I'm out somewhere and I just want to read some scripture. It's really handy to pull up the Bible on your phone. If you're, you know, at Menards and you bump into someone and they need the gospel and you don't have your King James on you, guess what? You can pop open your phone, and I even have a cool little app where you can lead someone through the gospel off the phone. So let me just start by saying, I don't think there's anything wrong with Bibles on phones or using the Bible on the phone or anything like that. But let me just tell you, when I read the Bible on my phone, God doesn't have my undivided attention. Let me just say, there's a lot of distractions on this little box, right? You're sitting there reading, and what pops up? Bzz, somebody texted you. Ding, some notification from some social media, right? Or, you know what? I've got Minesweeper on here. Maybe I'll play around with that. There's just distraction. So my preference is, and there are times where I'll read on my phone because it's what I've got. But I'll tell you this, at the end of the day, I just like to sit with my Bible, with my phone in another room, on silent. Why? Because I don't want to just read it. I want to listen. And I just know myself that if I got too many irons in the fire of my brain, none of those are going to get my undivided attention. And so I would just encourage you, if that's you too, and you want to know what God's will is, you want to understand how he's leading, well, you've got to listen. It's not just reading, and it's listening. Giving him the time and attention, the quietness that he needs to speak to you. All right, so let's move on now. Then let's look at how, as he separates us through leading us, there's protection. And I just thought about this morning. I was reading back over these notes, and I thought, who in the world knows what all the Spirit has rescued us from? That we don't even, you know, what dangers and what sin he has led us away from. what paths of getting astray has he kept us off of just because we obeyed? There's no telling. There's no telling. And so there's protection that comes from following the Spirit. Notice verse 9, and I think I had you turn to 1 Corinthians, so just turn back to Ephesians 5 again in our text there, and just look at verse 9. This verse teaches us, it says this, for the fruit of the Spirit, so here's what the Spirit's going to do. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Okay, that's a good filter right there. This decision that I'm making, does it meet? So if the Holy Spirit's leading that way, it'll be in goodness, righteousness, and truth. So really, for all practical purposes, when we come across a decision, you might ask yourself the question, is this good? Is this righteous? Is it true? Just as an example, and I one of these days we will, when we get to a passage that deals with it, and I have, this last year we got through a couple passages that dealt with Christians and alcohol, but I believe the Bible teaches a Christian ought to be abstinent from alcohol, and I could put together, I could show you all the passages, there's so much in the Old Testament and the New Testament about how it's just something we ought to stay away from, but I've had conversations with people that, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, you know. It says don't take too much wine. There's things like that. By the way, those are very easily explained in context. Those aren't problem passages. But the question I usually ask them instead of going to some of those, I say, tell me what's good about it. Just tell me what's good about it. What's righteous with it? What's the other word? True. What's true about it? When people drink a lot of alcohol, it causes them to be very truthful, right? And to act in truth. No. So the question, you could easily take the scripture and show what's wrong with it. But the question that really maybe we ought to think about is this, what's good about it? I mean, I was talking to a family member of mine, and we were having a fairly heated discussion about this. And he said, well, after work, I'm hot. I'm tired. I just wanted to have a drink and relax and all that. I said, what's wrong with iced tea? Now, up here, we don't do iced tea, do we? Oh, we do? Some people. Who's on the iced tea train here? It's not real. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Iced tea, it's assumed to be sweet. Okay, all right, we're going to split the church. Let's stop. Let's bring my spirit back here. But that was my question. What's wrong with a Coca-Cola that won't impair your judgment, right? That won't loosen your inhibitions. I mean, what's wrong with a glass? You're telling me you want to cool off after a day's work. What's wrong with sitting under an air conditioner? What's good about it, right? Okay, so now that's not the message today, although we could have that be the message. Let me just say this. All of the things we do, maybe that's a good question to ask. Well, there's nothing wrong with this. Well, what's good with it? Like, right? 3 John 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. For he that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not God. I'm telling you, the Spirit can protect us from so much if we'll just obey his prompting. So I was supposed to put that up there. It's by the Spirit's prompting. The Spirit will prompt us to do those things which are good, righteous, and true, okay? Secondly, and then we'll probably, let's see here. Yeah, we'll probably just stop here this morning, but let's look at this second point. By the Spirit's proving. Ephesians 5 again in verse number 10. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, this idea of proving here, it doesn't mean to show evidence and, you know, like you would prove in a trial or that you'd prove innocence, or it's not that sort of thing. It means to scrutinize or examine. Proving. There are times when Jesus did something to his disciples or led his disciples through something to prove them, right? It's to examine them. It's to scrutinize them. It's to see, okay, where are they? And this word approved, we get from the Greek dokimos, and that's an interesting word. In the ancient world, way before, you know, today the coins you carry in your pocket are basically worthless. The only reason they're valuable is because someone said they're valuable, right? But they're not real silver and that kind of thing anymore. But back in the day, you know, there were real coins were real gold, real silver, and they were valued by their weight. So, you know, however much a coin weighed, that's what it was worth, because that was the actual, it's not that hard to understand, right? Our government does understand that, but that's that. Y'all are really getting me on the rabbit trails this morning, I gotta say. yeah. Well, back then, when the gold, then the silver and gold are real coins, there's always scoundrels, right? There's always people who are gonna try to cheat. And what guys would do is they would shave the edges of those coins ever so slightly. And they'd just take a little silver off, a little gold off, and of course, they would keep that, and then they'd go spend those coins like normal money in the marketplace. And before long, they had made money on their money because they put those things back into circulation and they're keeping the parts of that. So they had money changers called dokimos that would be like, well, they were just honest and they would weigh the coins to make sure the coins were of full weight and of true weight, and they would approve the coins to put back in circulation. That's where we get that word approve. It's meaning something like this, of a true weight, of a true value. Philippians says like this, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So God wants us to take the decisions that we are to make. And as he directs us, he directs us to approve things. Is this truthfully what God wants for me? Is this of good value and of good weight? Because he always leads into truth, and of course the wicked one always leads into error. So he leads us, and by leading us, he protects us. Now, next week we'll look at kind of the practical part is how he instructs us. So your next number three there will be the instruction of the Lord. You can go ahead and write that one in. And then if you'll just keep these notes for next week, we'll look at these last three bullet points here. Lord, thank you for your word and the truth that's in it. Lord, or maybe I should say the truth that it is, Father. And thank you for the instruction that we get from your word. And Lord, I pray that you just help us this week to be in your word and to be listening to your spirit so you could lead us along the path of righteousness where you want us to go. Help us to approve things that are excellent and to consider the things that we do to make sure they fit within the leadership of the Holy Spirit and your Bible. I pray that, Lord, you dismiss us from this Sunday school hour. And Lord, that you would just give us a wonderful day in church today. I pray you'd be with our morning services as people are still coming in and arriving for that. We pray that you would bless in your preaching, bless also in the singing, and just, Lord, everything that's done today, may you get the honor and glory. We pray we leave here knowing that we heard from you, and so, Lord, we just pray for the whole day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.